Welcome, everyone. This is KBEM Jazz 88.5 FM at the North Community School in Minneapolis. And we're here today because we want to hear the voices of Camden High School students. I mentioned this to Brett McNeil, and he asked if I would be willing to feature the students from Camden, and I said I'm delighted. So here we are. I'm Karen Eileen. And I'm a woman. I am a mother of three, a grandmother of six, and a great-grandmother of three. Dynamic people. I need a motorized skateboard to keep up with them. Today with us in the studio is ladies first, Kalise Zachary, and another student, Isaiah Martin. And also with us today is Dave Gregory. And he's a mentor and a coach. So, Kalise, would you start by telling us what you want to know about you?
Hello, my name is Kalise Zachary. I am a senior at Camden High School. I've been the head captain of the cheerleading team for the past 4 years, and I've been president of Black Student Union for the past 2 years. And I also dance on the side. I dance at Dominion Dance Company over in Northeast. And I've danced at Hollywood Studio of Dance for 14 years or so.
When do you sleep? Do you sleep?
I say I'll sleep when I die. You know, I say that. So,
well, stick around, though.
I will.
Okay. Isaiah Martin, what would you like to say about Isaiah?
Hello, everybody. My name is Isaiah Martin. I go by Zay. I'm currently a senior at Camden High School. I would say a little bit about me is in the past, I've been a student board representative for the Minneapolis Board of Education. Currently, I work in the district. I work at Citywide. And right now, I do track. I'm a track and field athlete. So, yeah.
Okay. Dave Gregory, it's your turn.
How you doing? I'm Dave Gregory, 32 years young, father of five. I'm a scholar success coach for NAS, also a community leader in basketball, and then also with the youth as well. And I also manage a few players as far as basketball and boxing.
And NAS is?
NAS is a nonprofit organization, Northside Achievement Zone. It's been around about 15 plus years, correct? About 15 plus years. And we also have Taylor Smiley in the building and Juke Gregory as well. They're just some onlookers. But overall, my role in the community is to help the youth out far as scholar success coaching and also basketball as well.
So they're onlookers. Two names that you mentioned are onlookers today, but on board for next time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
I have a question for the Black Student Union president. What do you do?
Black Student Union's mission is to unify the Black students at our school. So we've done a Kwanzaa celebration where we've celebrated the seven principles of Kwanzaa each day and then did one celebration at the end, which was really nice and great for student morale. Just recently, at the end of Black History Month, we ran a pep fest entitled The HBCU Experience because there's not a lot of opportunities for Black students in Minnesota to see HBCUs because there are none in Minnesota. So we just wanted to provide them with that experience and give them some exposure to HBCUs and like where they could possibly go with their future. Just recently, we also did a quarter three honor roll celebration for all the students. We did a field day outside in our field, and we got a lot of great feedback on that. A lot of students were happy. They said this is the best quarter three celebration yet. Because the school usually just puts stuff together, and it's not very well thought out, and they liked that we were being attentive to them.
What did you add this year that didn't happen in the past?
We had refreshments for them this year, and
that wins.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yes, we had refreshments for them, and we had actual structured activities going on. There was tug of war, there was football, there was kickball, there was sprints, people were running races on the track, there was a water balloon toss. So I think they really enjoyed an actual structured activities, and they were also free to just walk around and do nothing, but a lot of them were participating, and I think they weren't seeing that in the other past quarter three or in the past honor roll celebrations. They were usually just, they just put us in the gym and give us our certificates and play like music or something, and it wasn't, ooh, we're just standing around looking, ooh, at each other.
What was the most fun for you as president?
As president, the most fun for me was our elementary school tours that we did last year, where we facilitated Freedom School for Jenny Lynn, Nellie Stone, and Lucy Laney, I believe. And the kids were so excited. We also incorporated reading into that. So we, after we did Harambe with them in a whole big group where we did cheers and chants and sang really uplifting songs, we went to their classrooms and individually or in groups of two, depending on who you were, we read books to them and we did lesson plans based off those books, and all those books centered blackness and black people.
Do you know what that reminds me of? In the early days of student voices, even before student voices, it was school news like two decades ago. I took a recorder out and I'd go with even first graders and second graders and I'd say, tell me a story, but you need to drop your chin and move your lips. And these little kids would be so excited. And I'm a broadcast journalist, so to introduce anyone to this career is really fun for me. So, Isaiah,
yeah.
Word has it that you were a student on the school board. Yep. What did you do there?
I kind of felt like my job as being on the board was to bring student voice from all over Minneapolis to the board. And so ultimately, me and another student, we represented 28,000 students. And so,
how did you do that, though? Did you go around and visit these schools and talk to students?
Yeah, I did. I was able to visit a couple schools. I was the North Side rep, and she was the South Side rep. So I was able to go visit, like, North. I was able to stop by Edison. I was able to stop by even some schools in the South Minneapolis, like Washburn and Southwest, and, yeah, elementary schools.
How was that for you?
I felt like it was a really big thing for me because not only was I able to reach out and talk to these schools that I represented, but I felt like I was also able to bring it back to the board, no matter if there was, like, change behind it, if that makes sense.
Was the board receptive to all of those words from collective students all around the city?
I feel like some were. I kind of felt like what people don't really talk about is it's kind of hard being a student board representative when, you know, you go to school and then it's like these meetings sometimes are held during school. And it's like, I sometimes wouldn't have the free time to just reach out to them or pull them aside and be like, hey, this is what's going on. Or even I feel like it would be vice versa. And like when they would make decisions, sometimes I'd be finding out the same time everybody else would. And so as I'm actively sitting there and, you know, I hear something come out and I'm looking to the side, like, when did we discuss this? And so I kind of felt like ultimately it was kind of hard, but I felt like I was able to bring feedback and still advocate for youth voice. So
what did that do for you as a young student?
I feel like it really showed me how change happens. While I was on the board, I advocated at the Capitol for student board representatives to have the power to vote. And I haven't heard back yet, but I feel like that still shows me that change is something that could happen tomorrow, change is something that could happen in a month, or change is something that could happen in the next 5 years. So,
and you're seeing that change needs to happen.
Yeah.
Did you feel time was invested well? That's a question for both of you. And what did you gain from that? In the roles that you had as president and as school board?
Oh yes, time well invested. BSU has grown so much over the year, like over the past 2 years we've had it, because it just started last year. And last year we were only meeting every other Wednesday, and it was about 15 students, but we still got so much done. And this year, now that we have community time at our school, we're able to get more students. So there's now about 20 to 30 kids in Black Student Union, and all are very, they're very looking for the word. They're very engaged, and they're very, still can't find the word. They're very excited to be there, and they're very
glad to participate.
Glad to participate. I still can't find the word.
Okay, it'll sail in, and when it does, let us know.
Okay.
How about you, Isaiah?
I felt like, or could you ask the question again?
You're going to ask me something and you want me to remember from 3 minutes ago? That's not fair.
Was your time well spent?
Thank you.
I felt like my time was well spent. I felt like I was able to learn more about Minneapolis. I was able to learn more about being a leader. I think something that I learned was that a lot of the times people think that leaders are somebody who always commands or always is telling somebody what to do. But being a leader is also listening and gathering in feedback and taking responsibility when nobody else is willing to. So, yeah.
Hello.
Hello is right. And then what about you need to listen before you can lead. Otherwise, yeah, you're kind of out front by yourself and who's got your back?
Yeah.
Yep. Dave, how does this sound to you as a mentor for these young students entering this world that needs a lot to be addressed right now?
I would say just giving them a voice and a platform to speak their truth, because they're the one who's going to school every day. They don't want to got to deal with the teachers, the administration. So just give them the platform. Like NAS, what we do with our, these two students are on our, they're ambassadors for NAS. So they lead a lot of our, you know, stuff that we throw. We had a Black College Fair. They were the one who led that. So we like to give them the voices and, you know, the role to lead. Because a lot of times with inner city schools, a lot of the Black kids' voices are not heard. They only heard on the sports and, you know, on the basketball court, football field, but outside
of... Or when they get into mischief.
Absolutely. So their behaviors are not, you know, they don't really matter until they're in trouble. And on the basketball court and football field. So a lot of these kids are not pushed academically. Or not even, most schools don't care about them outside of the sports, you know, outside of the sports. So Isaiah and Khalees, you know, they're in sports. They're leading their organizations, you know, respectively. And then also they're taking the extra initiative to go above and beyond, which is, you know, very important for our, you know, our student body. And just being, you know, Black man and Black woman, young woman leading the way, that's huge in our community. Mm-hmm. So just really give them a voice, you know, give them the tools they need and then give them the room to grow.
You all know I'm a journalist, and so much of my life in reporting and anchoring has been the bad news bears.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you listen to the news right now, what is positive? And so my incentive to be here and work with this team to mm-hmm. have this happen today is that I seriously feel that there needs to be honor and salute to the students who see the opportunity,
mm-hmm.
who invest and dedicate their time and their expertise, and they build their future. Because I'm going to hand something to Isaiah right now. And tell me what that is.
It's like a mini globe, like a marble globe.
How does it feel to have the world in your hand?
Normal.
Normal?
Yeah.
Do you feel you have the world in your hand?
In a way, I feel like I got my reality, my future, and I feel like if I keep going on the same path that I'm on, I feel like eventually I'm gonna have my community up there with me. So.
Okay, it's your turn, Khalees.
How does it feel?
How does it feel to have the world in your hand?
A bit stressful, I would say. I think when you're leading so many organizations, there's things you forget. Like, there's just so much for your mind to focus on all at one time, especially while I was running Black Student Union and running a cheer team at the same time. So I just felt myself being spread too thin. But, you know, I feel like I do a lot of my best work under pressure. So I would say it's stressful, but in a good way. Like, stressful to the point, like, I care. I know I care because I'm stressed out.
And you can make a difference.
Absolutely.
Both of you. Okay, Dave, it's your turn.
I feel like with this in my hand, It's the whole North Minneapolis. A lot of these kids depend on me for their day-to-day strength. And I know that, and I don't really use it as a tactic to use over their head. I kind of use it to connect with them. Like, I was you when I was younger. I was, you know, single mom, you know, welfare baby, hopeless in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. A lot of work I do has healed my childhood trauma when I was a kid. A lot of kids, they come in my office and they are very hopeless. And all they think about is sports. And they're not really comfortable opening up to other people in the building. So they come to me, hey, coach, I'm having a down day, and I already know it. And we just, you know, we sit and we have a real conversation. And not just about academics, not just about what they're doing wrong, just about, are you actually okay? Are you okay? Most kids are not okay, but they don't know how to say it, so they act out. And most of the people in the building don't really care about them beyond, you know, them getting to class. So, you know, my office is a safe place for these kids, not only to tell them what they need to do, you know, what they're going through, but me to hold them accountable. And they're receptive to me holding them accountable. Like, hey, I need you to do this for your future. And I know you're struggling right now, but I'm here for you in those moments, but also I'm going to push you to be the best version of yourself. So a lot of this work we're doing is healing me, you know, from my childhood trauma and seeing greatness in these kids outside of sports.
So as you say, the students come to you sometimes, but do you notice this sometimes when you're just walking down the hall? Can you pick up on that behavior?
Yeah. But when I walk down the hallway, it's a respect level that they have for me. Not just only because I'm a black man, but the way I carry myself, the way I show up each and every day and do my job. So I don't just hold them to a standard. I hold myself to a high standard, which trickled down effect to them. Like, hey, I need you to meet me. I'm not talking about the teachers. I'm talking about me. Show up for me because I'll have your back. When you come to school and you're having a bad day, you come talk to me. And I'm not going to hold it against you that you're having a bad day, but make sure that bad day don't turn into a bad week, a bad quarter, a bad semester.
Do you see behavior in the hallways, though, that you need to intervene?
Yeah, the language. And I tell them, watch your mouth when you're around me. Have more respect for yourself. You're going around here, but I'm going to be honest, a lot of it falls on the people in the building. A lot of the, you know, the hall staff and whoever, the support staff, they don't do a good job of keeping that respect level. They on the level of the students. Like, you know, salute to them, but I'm an adult in the building. So I expect you to come in my room and we can have a good conversation without foul language. And obviously foul language will happen, but keep it at a minimum and don't just disrespect your students and teachers as well.
Can I add to that?
Go ahead.
I think having a black male role model, a responsible black male role model in schools is so very important for young black boys because that's who they see themselves in. So thank you for doing the work that you're doing, and thank you to all black male staff who continue to show up every day for these boys in this school because you are so very needed.
Yeah,
I second that.
Well, I can third that. And the thing is that if the students, if the youth don't have that, then they think their life is going to roll on like that. And if they don't have some building blocks to build better, it's going to continue. And it's going to repeat the next generation and the next generation. And that's where it's so frustrating, I think, sometimes for the kids. But, you know, and what all was said is not negating anything for the women, because there's some real strong women.
Absolutely.
That are holding a lot together.
Absolutely.
And but the support, I think God knew what he was doing when he had two parents involved. what are three aspects, Isaiah, that you feel grateful for at Camden?
I feel very grateful for my black culture class. I would say for me, that has been a really big thing for me in my high school journey. I first took my black culture class during my junior year, and I remember being a little nervous because I've never taken a class like this where it's like students, the whole class is just students that look like me, along with the educator that looks like me. And so I was a little nervous, and I ain't gonna lie, I remember skipping like the first 2 days of school from that class. And
does your mom know about that?
The attendance office should have called her.
Hello. And so I remember it was like my third day and I was about to skip again. And I remember I seen my Black culture teacher and he was like, "You're Isaiah, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, how do you know?" And he was like, "Cause I looked at my roster. I've been noticing that you've been missing the past 2 days. What's going on with that?" And so I had a conversation with him and I started showing up to Black culture class. And then I feel like that's when I realized how influential that Black culture class was for me. And I feel like it just showed me more about myself and my Blackness and my peers and my teacher, my community, all type of things. So I'm positive for that aspect. I would also say I feel like school spirit, I feel like we've been getting better and better with school spirit and student engagement. And then I don't know, I would say my last aspect I'm thankful for is I would say for the Black staff that we do have. The Coach Daves, the Miss Mohammeds, the Mr. Anytons. You guys may not know them yet, but I'm sure you guys will in the future. I just feel like I'm really positive and really grateful for having those Black staff.
What do you mean by school spirit?
When I say school spirit, I mean like student morale, student engagement. I feel like this year it was at the start of the year, it was like, all right. And then throughout the January phase, especially because of like the ICE raids and everything, I felt like student morale had dropped to like an all time low. I felt like it even got to the point where I was even asking myself, like, why am I here at school? Everybody else is at home. Everybody else is going through it. And I just remember as little by little, just I kind of feel like morale started picking up. The sun came out. Students started coming back to school. I felt like with BSU, we've been able to get more engaged with students. We put on a whole HBCU experience that Khalees was talking about and just like things like that. And I feel like we've just been able to bring up student morale, student engagement, student well-being in general. So, yeah, that's what I mean by school spirit.
Thank you. Khalees, your turn.
What are my three things? I would say student spirit and student morale this year has been largely increased, and I would like to thank BSU for taking a hand in that. All my people in BSU, thank you so much. I also say cheerleading had a little bit to do with, you know, boosting student morale, student spirit, because prior to my freshman year of high school, Patrick Henry, when it was, as at the time is what it was called, did not have a cheer team. And so
why?
They disbanded around like 2018 and nobody wanted to pick it back up again.
You mean staff or students or who? Who didn't want to pick it up?
Yeah, there has to be like a staff to pick it up. So my freshman year, there was a staff who decided to take on the role, and I was by her side through a lot of that. And I did a lot of heavy lifting with teaching cheers to students and things like that. And we've gotten a lot of engagement with a bunch of girls who probably never would have tried sports if it weren't for cheerleading. So I'm happy to get these young Black girls active in their school and just active in general in life. So student spirit and student morale. My second thing I'm grateful for at Camden High School is the education pathway. It led me to my career. I'm going to school to study elementary education to be a teacher. And the education pathway at Camden High School is ran by Nafisa Muhammad and Anytan Yarbrough, amazing instructors, amazing professors. They teach us all about how the education system works and how it disenfranchises Black students and students of color, and how it's kind of essentially grooming us to teach students of color in the future. And I think it's beautiful work that they're doing, especially with career exploration and stuff. So I really appreciate the education pathway. My third thing, I really appreciate almost the emptiness of Camden High School prior to me being there, because I felt like it gave us a garden, an empty garden to plant our seeds and kind of like watch them grow. So I do appreciate the emptiness that is, and I appreciate the leadership opportunities that emptiness gave me.
Dave, how does this feel to you as a mentor with all of this information?
I got a saying, it's called presence over presence. So my presence I give you, be showing up every day, is going to be bigger than the presence I can give you monetarily. Like the monetary value means nothing.
With a bow or not.
There you go. So, and then I would say just really having empathy for these kids that show up every day. A lot of these kids are wearing their heart on the sleeve, even if they're going through it. Some kids have all Fs.
What does that mean, heart on the sleeve?
A lot of kids don't have the support at home from the parents. They don't have the support from the school, so they're looking for some type of hope. Mm-hmm. So if I can give you anything of hope, that's what I'm looking to give you. And the black people, and I'm not going to just keep some of black people, but the leaders in the building that are able to give these scholars hope is what we're looking for, because that hope might open up a whole different mind and say, you know what, I actually do want to go to college. I got kids on my roster, and my roster is my NAS roster. I have, you know, Isaiah's one of those kids. Khalees is on a NAS roster as well. But some kids I talked to from the beginning of the year and now, it's been like a 360 of hope that they ain't gained. Like, you know what, actually, I can do it. You know what, I actually can go to college. Actually, I can leave the streets alone. And they found a new, you know, a new journey within themselves. Not just with the grades, just the way they come in the room, they smile now. They used to come in the room earlier this year with a head down, and they want to look you in your eyes. So just giving them a glimmer of hope is just everything for me. And seeing these kids persevere each and every day, you know, get stronger. Like he said, January kids were down in dumpsters. Now it's like
we were all down.
Yeah, everybody was down. The morale was down. The community was down. And seeing these kids fight through it, fight each and every day. So a lot of times we point out the negative and the bad grades and bad this, but these kids are showing up and they're giving their best efforts each and every day. And, you know, we have two superstar students right here that are giving even more effort to build their community, even with going against all the odds. Mm-hmm. So I commend y'all and, you know, continue doing the great work y'all doing.
Exactly. Isaiah, how do you see that high school right now at Camden is a mini model of what the rest of the world is going to be going forward?
Can you rephrase that question?
How do you see the days at Camden for you and Khalees and everybody's student at Camden is a mini model of what life is like somewhat beyond high school and going out into the world?
So when you're asking that question, you're asking, like, how do we see ourselves growing, like, outside of Camden?
Growing outside of Camden? But yeah. Do you see that what's going on at Camden right now is like a mini model?
Like a parallel to the
rest
real world.
It's going on out there.
Yeah. I would say yes. I feel like, especially, like, when Khalees was talking about Ed Pathways, I feel like that's just one example that we have at school that has been setting us up for that parallel where we have been exploring educational opportunities and career paths and goals. And I just kind of feel like I'm able to see that parallel of not only what I see myself doing in a couple of years, but how I see the class of 26 and even class of 27, class of 28. Yeah.
Khalees?
How do I view Camden High School, like, as a mini model of the real world? I think when you're dealing with people in higher up positions, it's similar to the real world, especially with how discouraging it can be when you're trying to get something done. I see that. I see how student-centered things gained student interest. The reason why we had so much engagement with Black Student Union is because it is student-centered. Like, during the meetings, I'm up there, or my vice president is up there speaking. It's not a teacher speaking for us. And I think that relates to the real world when people are seeing people who are like them in those positions and speaking up. I think that gains people's engagement and things like that.
But just think about this. You're speaking there at Camden, and now you're here at Jazz 88.5 KBEM, and there's positivity going out on those towers and those beams rather than more bad news bears. So I really appreciate all of you being here. Dave, what do you think is the hardest thing about being a kid today?
Social media. Comparison is... It will steal your joy. It will steal you and rob you of, I always say, be where your feet is. Instead, they're being all over the world, a lot of opinions floating around of where they should be. But a lot of times, you are exactly where you need to be. So I just feel like pressure on these kids to be grown-ups and adults early on is very concerning to me. A lot of kids have to keep up with, you know, clothes, makeup, the new, whatever the new wave is. So it's like, you know, I feel like it's taking the joy from these kids in their day-to-day life because they're always comparing themselves to others instead of understanding, like, I am okay, you know, just how I am. So I see a lot of kids, you know, trying to fit into something that they're not. They're trying to, you know, gain a certain this or that. But overall, I think nowadays kids' voices can be heard on a higher level at a younger age because of the platforms as well. Mm-hmm. So it's negative and there's positive to it. But I feel like, for the most part, I just feel like, you know, social media is kind of messing a lot of the organic value that these kids need moving forward.
But the other thing, too, is that, I mean, as a media person, we had to check everything before we took a breath to report on anything.
Yep.
We had to have the solid backup. I don't think that's happening today. And there's so much out there without validity because it's an editorial on an editorial on an editorial. And what's the basis for that? That, as a media person, just bothers me to pieces. Do you agree with that social media contact?
I would say yes, but I also would say yes. I kind of feel like it really just depends on your self-control when you are on social media. I feel like that is something that I've had to learn from my freshman year till now is that as a freshman, if you're, or at least as I was younger, if you sit on social media and you're comparing yourself or you're like, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, but I'm seeing, you know, friends or people at school have this or that, that could really, you know, weigh on you. And so I feel like if anything, social media can be that, but you really got to have the self-control to be like, I'm good in my own way, you know, I'm good in my own right and things like that. So.
And then get off the social media because you have a family.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a little brother that you can pick on.
Yeah. I got two.
I know. What about if you had an airbrush today, Khalees, and you could paint a picture of what you'd like to see happen to improve schools today? What would that be?
Improve schools today. Well, if I had a paintbrush or a spray brush, I would immediately paint the entire thing white, complete start over, complete redo. Like, especially when I'm looking at, I've been doing a lot of research on decolonized education and how that works. And I really, really want schools to stray from teacher-centered, perennialistic classrooms where...
What do you mean by that?
A teacher-centered classroom would be a lecture-based classroom where the teacher is up there speaking the entire time and the students are sitting taking notes. I don't think that is the best way to learn, especially not for your students of color. And there's been there's been research done, and we're seeing it today. Like, they're not performing as high as their white counterparts, but that's not because they're dumber or slower than them. It's because they learn differently. That's just not how they learn. So a student-centered classroom would look more like a discussion-based classroom where the teacher is asking the students questions and the students are facilitating their own learning through dialogue. And so, yeah, that's what I would do for education is just, you know, scrap it, redo. We have to think over. I think we're beyond reform. I think we need to dismantle.
Do you think that's true for other cultures as well, though? I mean, probably like American Indians. I mean, they're great storytellers. They learn from their ancestors a lot, and probably more from the ancestors or as much as the classroom. And so tied to nature is what I noticed was really cool. Isaiah, same question.
I was when you originally asked it, I was going to say to paint more teachers of color in there. But then I feel like I actually like second what Khalees was saying is that I kind of feel like we're starting to get to the point where we might be on beyond repair. And that I think it's one of those things where it's like we really have to rethink and reform education. And I just feel like it's one of those things where it's like education should be, you know, education is power and power, knowledge is power. And I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, if school isn't giving you that, then what is going to give you that? So
very true. I just got the signal for that Dave Gregory has another appointment. And thank you so much for joining us today. And the one thing I want to say, and I know Isaiah has heard this story many times, my dad used to raise draft horses. Do you know what they are? They're really the Clydes, the Belgians, the really mammoth horses. And as a little kid, I saw my dad put these two horses together and move what looked like a mountain of hay because the rack was piled so high. And I saw how a team can work together to make a big difference. Then it was moving that hay rack. But as a team together today, Manny on the board, thank you. Mm-hmm. And Dave Gregory, as he's sliding out the back, the side door, thank you for joining us today. But the other thing I wanted to, and somebody suggested that I ought to do an icebreaker real quick. So what is the, Khalees, what is the first picture that you remember seeing of yourself?
That I remember seeing of myself? I believe the first picture I remember seeing of myself is, at dance studios, you have picture days, and mm-hmm. they picture you in your dance costume. So I think the first picture I ever saw of myself was probably a picture of me in a dance costume when I was 3 years old when I first started dancing. I think it's the first photograph I ever saw of myself.
Cool. Isaiah, what about you?
I would say for me, I think the first photograph I've seen of myself was my mom had took us to go take headshots back in like 2011. And I was like 3 years old. And I remember I had a fade. I had like no hair on the top of my head. And I had a red polo collar shirt on and some, I want to say like brown shorts. And I still look at that photo today. I'm pretty sure like that is the first photo I've seen of myself. So
have you seen this one?
I haven't. Oh, I've seen this one.
Have you seen this one?
Oh, is that me?
That's you.
Wow, you were bright. Whoa.
Yes, that's a picture of Isaiah making his grand entry in the world. I'm his grandmother, by the way, very proud grandmother. And your mom called me because I had registered to go horseback riding at a ranch that weekend. And she said, Mom, it's time. Your dad was pacing on the other side of the door.
Yeah.
And I was there with your mom. And so I delivered babies as a nurse. And so I said, may I have the honor? And that's you.
Yeah.
Grand entrance.
Were you the first?
Announcing. Pardon me?
Were you the first?
Like sibling?
Yeah.
No.
He's the third. No. But this has been such a joy today to have all of you here from Camden High School, two seniors who will be doing the Grand March pretty soon.
Hello.
Right?
Yeah.
Hello.
It's time.
Khalees, thank you. Isaiah, thank you. Dave Gregory, thank you so much for teaming with us. Manny Hill, thank you for being on the board. And folks, have a good day.